Okay, good evening to all, and welcome to the Peace Alliance Monthly Action Call for the month of October 2019. My name is Dan Kahn. I'm the National Field Coordinator for the Peace Alliance, and it's a real pleasure to be with you all. I really appreciate that you folks are devoting your Tuesday evening or an hour of it to this effort, to this community. And I think it's always an inspiration to me and a support to be with folks who are aligned around positive solutions for conflict, for reducing violence, for enhancing cooperation on this planet. People who are connected with the Peace Alliance generally are aware or become aware that there are practical ways that we can reduce violence and increase peace. And we set about promoting those practical tools. So it really is a pleasure to be in community with people who have that common vision and take those actions around that common vision. So thank you. Let me review the agenda for tonight. The next thing that's going to happen after that is I'm going to introduce our two board chair people, Judy Kimmel and Terry Mason, who are going to talk about the Blueprint for Peace. And this is a very exciting, a blueprint, a map, a plan for how we implement these policies and programs that practically do create more peace in our world. So this is some real visionary and practical information tonight. We're thrilled to be doing that. After the two of them share about the plans and the origins and the actions, then we'll have a chance for question and answer and discussion for folks on the call. After that, we'll segue into an update on the Department of Peacebuilding campaign from Nancy Merritt, the council lead for the Department of Peacebuilding Initiative. And then we're going to have some coaching on the monthly action. Everyone who is registered for the call as of about 40 minutes ago should have received in your email inbox a message from me with two links on it. So if you do have access to your email during this call and can open that message, it could be useful. We'll make reference to those two links. One of them is to a PDF of the Blueprint sign-on document, and the other one is to the actual page on our website with lots of resources that you can use. So access that message if you can conveniently do that within the next half hour, so you have it while you're on the call. After the DOP update, I mentioned we'll have coaching on the action, and then we'll have time for shares from the field, anything that's going on with you in your peace-building world, in your congressional district, with your city council, with your school district, with your neighborhood school, with your neighborhood, anything in your peace-building life that you would like to share. That'll be time for us to hear from each other around the country. And then a little bit more in the way of announcements and requests, and then we'll close. So that is the plan for tonight. Thanks again for being with us. And the next thing I'm going to do, as I mentioned, Terry Mason and Judy Kimmel are our two special guests, and they've both been working alongside each other and with me for, that I'm aware of, for 15 years, and probably in other ways before that. So we've been on this bus together for 14 and a half years or so, and they have been just a steady source of inspiration and comfort and care. You know, this really is a place of friendship as well as common purpose, and I really appreciate their support along the way, every step. And I believe that Terry is going to go first. Is that what's going on? Yes. So I'm going to unmute Terry Mason and thank her and welcome her. Go ahead, Terry.
Thank you. Well, we welcome everyone to this call. I'd like to ask everyone here to just take a deep breath. And center yourself and be ready to soak up the information that we are going to share. Our intention in this hour is to empower you to be an advocate for peace and peace building and utilize a newly developed tool to communicate with your friends and family, your community, your personal and professional network, and your elected officials and candidates who may be running in your area. So as a bit of historical context, the Peace Alliance established the five cornerstones for peace building, which were developed several years ago to provide a framework for all of the peace-building work and policies that we support. And these five cornerstones are teaching peace in schools, empowering community interventions, humanizing justice systems, enhancing personal and interpersonal supports, and fostering international peace. The Declaration for Civil Dialogue was initiated about 2 years ago, and it was an effort to address the contentious nature of the social and political divide that had become so prevalent, to engage individuals and our elected officials to engage in civil dialogue. And this led to an evolution that has resulted in the Blueprint for Peace. The Blueprint brings all of this together and is meant to provide a platform for individuals, organizations, and elected officials to declare their support for peace building within the five cornerstones and to robustly implement policy priorities around these important concepts. As Dan said before, he just sent an email with links, and he's provided a link to the Blueprint. But for those of you on the phone and unable to view the document, the first paragraph of the Blueprint reads as follows. We face staggering levels of violence in America and around the globe. The personal, social, and economic costs to individuals, families, and our communities can be overwhelming. And yet we have far more effective root cause solutions available than we are currently employing. We must implement policies and invest in programs, both domestically and internationally, that are proven to work and bring them up to the scale needed to turn this devastation around. The Blueprint goes on to identify the five cornerstones that I just mentioned earlier and reference some of the effective solutions that exist in each one of them and that we believe should be implemented to lower the financial and emotional cost, which will build social resilience. So I'm going to hand it off to Judy, and Judy's going to take us through the advocacy action and the different ways that we can utilize the Blueprint moving forward. Judy?
Well, hi there out there in U.S. land, wherever you are. And I want to note, not only are people on this call tonight, that we actually have a national podcast called Peace On, and that you and we have made this information, this monthly, these national calls, which we have on a monthly basis, available to anyone, anywhere, and for free. And we encourage you to let your friends and family and neighbors and associates know about Peace On as a way to really learn a little bit more about the really amazing stuff that is happening in the area of peace building, both in this country and globally. So here we are. We have this document, which Terry referenced, the Blueprint for Peace. And we really see it as an advocacy tool. We have really three mandates in the Peace Alliance. One is to advocate, to educate, and to build community around peace building. And this tool really fits that, those descriptions and that mission statement perfectly. It is obviously an amazing peace-building tool when you look at the details of it. Historically, was since I got involved in the current peace-building movement, I actually started way back in Vietnam, but there's been an exponential growth in the awareness and the skill set and the sophistication of peace building. And people who are directly involved in peace building are well aware of that, but the country in our country, the United States, as well as globally, are less informed. Actually, a lot of the globe is more informed than the United States is about peace building solutions. So one of the intents, as Terry said, that really create the background of this document is the fact that we want to make sure that everybody realizes that peace building is more than just ending war, that we see peace building being a process that goes from the individual, which is I, myself, and what I can do individually to create nonviolence and peace in my life, my family, my culture, to what we can do at the state level, what we can do in our public school systems, what we can do at the national level, and obviously what we can do internationally in terms of preventing war. So this tool, this document, which I'm holding right here, and which you can download and is on our website, is really a tool to advocate and educate and build community. And the reason I say that is that one of the things, as Terry mentioned previously, that is, in dire need of bolstering is civil dialogue. One of the problems that we see in the Peace Alliance that leaves us where we are as a country is the fact that people don't talk to each other. And don't engage in civil dialogue. This is a real powerful tool to engage in civil dialogue. Whether you're an individual that wants to just talk to your family over Thanksgiving about issues, you can print this out and circulate it in your family and say, let's just have an open conversation about, what do you think about humanizing the justice system? What do you think about teaching peace in schools? What do you think about fostering international peace? It is an embarkation opportunity for people to really dialogue, because not everybody thinks the same in this country. But there are certainly a lot of different solutions available to us that most people don't know about it. So engaging this tool as a way of promoting civil dialogue is a useful opportunity. We, of course, have a legacy, 15-year legacy, in being very politically active on the Hill and not only in Washington, D.C., but also at the state level. And one of the things that we encourage people to do is obviously to become lobbyists, to actively engage their representatives, whether it's the state, your city council member, your mayor, or you're at the state level with the national, Democratic Party, Republican Party, whether it's on the Hill. And we visualize this document as being a way to engage in conversation and let people know that these are principles we really stand for, the five cornerstones of peace that Terry reviewed earlier. So we encourage you to use this as a way to foster dialogue, whether it's with your friends and family or whether it is with your representatives at the state, national, or local community or national level. And you can do this in many ways. The one really fantastic thing that I love about this is that I want to give you a couple of statistics. So far, we just launched this, and so far we reached 1,300 elected officials directly in this country. That's a lot of people. And we have invited those people through your engagement and your endorsement to examine, look, and endorse the Blueprint for Peace. So in other words, this is a powerful educational tool that can be used not only at the national level, but at the state and local level. So when you go in or you encourage one of your family or friends to go in and endorse the Blueprint for Peace on our website, in no matter what connections, whether you're using Facebooks or emails or whatever, they link on, and when they link on and endorse this document, they are automatically, essentially, sending a letter, an email letter, to their representative saying, I want you to endorse this type of legislation. And I'm saying, I'm taking a stand for empowering community intervention, teaching peace in schools, the five categories. So it's a multiplier. So if you endorse it, it gets sent out to at least seven other elected officials. So it's huge leverage. Right now, and I don't know, Terry, whether you had an opportunity to look up the statistics for today, but as of when did Terry and I talk last?
No, I did.
So
yeah, we have so far 6,152 actions have been sent to elected officials.
That's pretty good. So we have sent out to the Blueprint for Peace over 6,000 notifications to elected officials. And it's easy. It literally takes 15 to 30 seconds to do. So if you, one of my strongest messages tonight is, if you send this out and ask your friends and family and networks and community and church and whatever to endorse this, the leverage is 7 to 1. And that has huge impact. So far, well, when I looked up, when Terry and I were looking on Sunday, Donald Trump had received 742 invitations to endorse this.
And today it's 753.
753, going up. So every time someone sends this out, they're asking our president and vice president, among their governor, their senators, their representatives, to endorse these types of policies. It's very impactful. And so I can't urge you more to not only sign on yourself if you haven't already done that, but also to encourage your friends and family, whatever way you have. I've done everything from cut and paste our announcements and forward them on, to putting them on Facebook, to putting them on LinkedIn. Whatever you can do to forward the message to LinkedIn, it has a huge impact nationally. How are we doing on time? So anyway, I can go on and talk about this. I get very excited about it and very, very enthusiastic about it because it's such an easy thing to do. It literally takes people 15 seconds to 30 seconds to do it, and they have leverage, 7 to 1. So it's not about you handwriting a postcard. So the other thing I'm going to talk about, though, is that, of course, all these elected officials getting emails is great, but if you write a postcard or you actually take this document into your House of Representatives local office in San Rafael or wherever it happens to be, you have just quantum leaped your impact about 100%. So I would encourage those who can and have the wherewithal and the capacity to do that, to print this out. You can print it out, and I think Dan's going to tell us a lot more about that a little later. But you, if you go to our website, you go to Advocate, and you go, it's the first thing, Blueprint for Peace. You print this out. You take this to your representative's office or your supervisors or your city mayor or whoever it is, and you say, I want you to support policies that actually support these issues. And would you please sign on? That has even more leverage. Other ways to do it is to send a postcard saying, have you seen the Blueprint of Peace? If you have, I want you to endorse it. Judy Kimmel. Postcards are more effective than letters because they get there immediately. Letters get scanned for anthrax and all sorts of horrible things, and it's a delay of 5 to 6 months. That may have changed now, Geraldine. You could speak to that. But last I heard, it still takes a long, long time for a letter to get to a senator or representative. Postcards are very efficient. So the real grid is to, the more contact, the better. And we see this as being a very powerful advocacy tool that can not only foster civil dialogue, but it can engage people in meaningful conversation about the area of the unexplored area of peace building and the types of information and progress that has been made in this country to leverage peace building in a very cost effective, not only with human life, but cost effective in terms of financial, actual federal dollars. You know, it's 1 to 10. A $1 spent on peace building is equivalent to $10 spent in once the incident has occurred. So it's a no-brainer, but it's just mostly people don't know that. So I encourage you to get the word out and share when you get emails or you get a connect on Facebook or whatever, or LinkedIn, or you know, all the other mirrored social media things, that you please not only do it if you haven't already, but also forward it on to your friends and family and ask them to as well. It's very fun. Terry, the other day when we were talking on Sunday, we have a database where you can see the different states and how many representatives have been contacted. And it's cool to see that, well, for one thing, I already said that President Trump and Vice President Pence have both been contacted probably now maybe 800 times about the Blueprint for Peace, which is pretty good. But that, you know, people like I come from California, our senators, Nancy Pelosi, Dianne Feinstein. We've actually gotten a letter back from Dianne Feinstein, all of us who did it in California, or most, at least the people I know, because there was obviously enough of a response that she had to write an individual letter to respond to it. So that says that it's having an impact. I'm just wondering, what else, what have I left out, Terry?
I don't think you've left anything out, but just to bottom line it, first, endorse it yourself. That will automatically send the messages to your elected officials. Second, share it in social media, send an email, take the paper copy around, but share it with everybody you know. And third, you can amplify your action by either sending a postcard or going to visit your member of Congress or make a phone call. It doesn't take long to make a phone call. So those are the three things: endorse it, share it, and amplify it.
Right.
Why don't we see if folks have questions? Maybe we want to jump into the discussion.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Sounds good.
We've talked a lot now, so we're ready.
Great stuff. So if you have a question, if you have downloaded the software of Zoom, then hopefully you have a hand-raising option that you can see to raise your hand. If you're on the phone, you can press *9 to raise your hand. And if you are on your computer and cannot manage to find a hand-raising option, we've seen some people sometimes are not able to find it, you can physically raise your hand and I will look for you if I can see you. So those are the options. If you want to ask a question or enter the discussion, you can press the hand raising icon under the menu of your screen, or you can press *9 on your phone to raise your hand, or you can physically raise your hand and I will look for it. Seeing none so far. So I might ask a question unless... Oh, there's Kendra's got her hand up. Thank you, Kendra. Go ahead, you're unmuted. Hi, Kendra.
I just wonder what, I came on late, so maybe this was answered. What is the next step? This is great, and I'm excited about it. And are there follow-up plans?
Well, we're gonna carry this blueprint out at least through the 2020 election. Our goal is to really raise up the concepts of the policies that we support to all the candidates across the board who are running for election in the next cycle, and to engage people to focus on the peace building activities and policies that we can support. I mean, this with our country, it's, I think no one here would disagree, has become very divided. There's the social political environment is very contentious, and getting back to the Civil Dialogue Declaration, this is meant to bring us back to the things that matter most, and what's going to save lives and save money and focus on those things. So our intent is to really bring that message forward and continue to say it over and over and over again through the next election cycle. and raise up the dialogue to those areas, raise up a conversation to the areas that will bring us together. Does that answer your question, Kendra?
Yes.
Cool.
Thanks, Kendra. And I see Geraldine's got her hand up too. Just a moment. Okay, Geraldine Stapleton, one of our
you unmuted me. I can see it on the bottom of my screen. Yes, thinking about, the main division, but also we've got right now what's going on is like the people that are climate hawks are really, really pushing, you know, just to have, you know, like a debate on that issue alone. So everybody's kind of involved, but they have like an issue that is their like top priority. And I think it would help us if we could possibly put together like a background follow-up information to this on how the blueprint, there's an intersection between climate change and peace building, you know, in terms of being able to focus and take care of Mother Earth and what have you, and not keep polluting it more with war and so on and so forth. So if we can draw those points, you know, for those folks, I think it might help us gain some more allies with the ones that are focused on one given issue, specifically like climate change. Some are specifically gun control. Some are, you know what I'm talking about.
Right.
That's all. Just a suggestion.
Mm-hmm. Well, I totally am on board with what you're saying, Geraldine, and I think everybody at the Peace Alliance is completely aware that actually we're all in this together. Small planet, and
we're together or we're not.
And to that, to the degree that we can acknowledge that, and we have, you know, like, for example, in our Five Cornerstones, under Foster International Peace, we did include ecological interventions and as being a major problem, obviously, and will continue to be a major problem, not only internationally, but now even within our nation, with regard to resources and resource allocation. So there's no question that we are all interrelated. I think the thing that bridges also, as you references, is critical and very important, that we actually realize that how we treat ourselves individually, which is where the Peace Alliance starts with, you know, if I am not peace, I cannot project peace in my family, in my community, in my state, in my government, in the world. And that peace is not only peace in terms of how I relate to my husband, my children, my relatives, my community, but also how I respond to the planet and to my recycling and to my how I keep and anything else. So it is actually very interconnected. I think we deeply appreciate that. I think one of the reasons that we actually decided to do a blueprint for peace is that the Greenpeace, that they have their champions, very vocal champions, and we were feeling that this aspect, the human interface aspect of that larger conversation, was not was being kind of underreported, under-acknowledged, because it really truly is how we treat ourselves and our family and our environment intimately within our own lives, that reflects out into who we are globally and publicly. So I think it's a very valid point. It's interesting. It's a matter of emphasis and a matter of dialogue, but I'm open to hearing more from people if they feel that we need to make that connection more strongly in the future.
It would be nice if we could get the candidates, the major candidates, to be including peace in their platform, which Bernie hasn't even done that. And I know Mania Benjamin from Code Pink is really upset with him over that point, that never has been really included, let alone be towards the top, you know, of his platform. But certainly it should be included. But that's us, you know. Yeah, it's hard to kind of shake these people and say, wake up, you know, and can't you see the connection here? Mm-hmm. So, anyway.
Thanks, Sherilyn. Yeah.
I might want to speak just real quickly to Kendra's question also about where next. And not that I have the answers, but I just kind of want to point up something that I see in this, which may be really obvious to folks, but just sort of another way of looking at it. This is another tool, the way I see it, for us to map out and demonstrate that there is this field of peace building, that there is this realm of building peace that includes all these parts to it, includes these different areas, the personal and interpersonal, school systems, justice systems, international neighborhoods. And something that the Peace Alliance has done for me, and I think for a lot of people, is really given us a sense of that landscape. There are people who have found their way from the Peace Alliance into restorative justice as a movement and as a toolkit, and into social and emotional learning, and into nonviolent or empathetic communication skills. And as well as the programs and the practices, we found our way into policies that promote these things. So this blueprint is another way of mapping out this world so that we can make this stuff tangible as a set of policy priorities, and also continue to be an umbrella, a place where we can support a campaign for a restorative justice policy. We can support a campaign for social emotional learning. We can support a campaign for a Department of Peace Building, with the strong recognition that this is all part of a big picture, which is towards building a stronger and deeper and wider edifice of peace building. So that's where it continues to grow, I think, in some of my vision.
Hey, Dan, I saw Michael Harrington had his hand up.
Oh, thanks.
And then Karen Frank.
Okay. Good looking out. Michael, you're unmuted.
Greetings. Geraldine, I hope I'm saying that right. I think his hit, first off, this isn't my question, but when she said that, I wanted to say to her that intersectionality in observation is something that each group, each do-gooding group out there needs greater emphasis, but also maybe some training on how to play well with other groups. But the intersectionality is obvious. And also there is at least one candidate who has a very clear message on peace building. And it has an entire platform on a Department of Peace that even if you don't like the candidate, if you read what they have to say, I believe that most people who are in the peacemaking business would agree that the vitality and the uniqueness of what that platform is. My two questions are this. What is the Peace Alliance doing with students and teachers the university and college level? And what is the second question is like unto it, which is, what is the Peace Alliance doing with college campuses? Are there pieces or departments within Peace Alliance that are addressing these, because that would be of very keen interest to me? That's my question.
Judy, do you want to take that, or you want me to try?
Well, Terry, I think we should mention the conference that we just, the beginning of October, with the Gandhi Institute, where we really were instrumental. One of the things that you should know is that we are organized not in a hierarchy, as an organization, not in a hierarchical way, but in a we have a leadership council that really runs our organization. And so we have a representative for the five cornerstones, each a different person that represents each of the five cornerstones. And we just sponsored a conference, a Gandhi conference. And Harry, can you share a little bit more about that? Because sure. I think it's an example of what we're trying to do.
Yeah. I mean, it started October 2nd, but it's expected to last a year and expand. It was hashtag Gandhi150, and it was to celebrate the 150th anniversary of Gandhi's birth. And what the goal was to bring together educators from around the country, to have one educator from each state attend, to set up an event, a facilitated event in their local community or their school, to show a documentary film called From India with Love, and then have facilitation guidelines and how to support educators in the schools in the climate that we're currently living in. Because there are a lot of training that educators are getting and how to combat active shooters instead of working on helping the students and the educators build peace and support those concepts. Yelena Popovich is our teaching peace in schools lead. She's heavy into mindfulness, heavy into a lot of different things. She has.
Did you say that name again?
Yelena Popovich. She's on our website. You can look her up there under About Us. She's our Teaching Peace in Schools lead. But she was heavily involved in this in the Gandhi 150. But she's also working on spreading more facilitation guidelines to support schools and support teachers in how to deal with the threats of violence that the schools are facing. So, it's a huge problem and it's only growing, and it's, you know, there's a lot of fear, understandably, that's going on in the schools for the kids and the teachers. So it's a big problem that needs to be addressed on a big level. When it comes to the universities, we have historically reached out to universities that have peace building studies. There are many, many more than there were when we all started this movement. And so it's hard to keep up, but one of our board members is more involved in the university and college level study of peace. And so he's keeping us connected there. We do not, however, Michael, have a Student Peace Alliance lead at this time. Our Student Peace Alliance has kind of fallen fallow out of lack of leadership support because we're operating on a shoestring now. And so we don't really have the ability to keep it going. We actually think we'd want to change the Student Peace Alliance to a Youth Peace Alliance, because students have this annoying habit of finishing school and then they're done and then they move on. And you know, so, but if we made it a Youth Peace Alliance, then they could keep going even after they graduate for a while before they sort of move on. But we are interested in expanding our board, and we're looking into getting a board member who would be more of a sponsor of the Youth Peace Alliance and get more actual ongoing conversations going with those people, because it's really important.
Before I'm muted, I didn't realize I wasn't, so I'm glad I didn't like cough and stuff. But I have some folks that I think, I'd like to continue this conversation about your Youth Peace Alliance and people that that I think would be a good match. Anyway, who can... off this conversation, Daniel, Terry, Judy, whom may I speak with on the old telephone after this? Not after tonight's meeting, but maybe tomorrow, the next
day. Sure.
Why don't you call me Michael?
Okay, hi, Michael.
Judy.
Yes, Judy. You didn't catch my lousy joke.
I got it.
I missed it.
Okay, I just said, okay, you can call me Michael. I said, hello, Michael. So, Judy, what's your phone number? Or do you want to text it to me and I'll give you my phone number? Because everybody has my phone number.
Okay.
My number is 206 206-225-8937. So 206-225-8937. I'm here in Seattle by way of Austin, Texas, and missing tacos as we speak. And I have a org that started with Occupy Movement. It's called Occupy Faith. And it came out of the good old FOR people. And so I have been following y'all with great interest. So you have my phone number, Judy, and everybody else does too. But so you can text me and let's set up a call this week. Yeah, I would love to help you with your youth peace group. What are you calling it now? Youth Peace Alliance.
Youth Peace Alliance. Well, it used to be student, but the problem is that students graduate and then they're no longer feel like they should participate. So we were having a hard time. We had chapters at one point in a lot of universities throughout the country, but the idea that, you know, it's a continuing cycle and we just get someone trained to lead the whole thing and then they graduate, it became very labor intensive.
I understand.
But if people have the, so you know, you've got the gist.
Sure. Well, and I've spent the past 40 years working with students and they, for the first 20 years, they didn't care if I called them youth. And for the last 20 years, they much prefer the use of the word student. So, but I get what you're saying about the youth thing. And I look forward to talking to you.
Great.
And if I was you, I'd mute me.
Take that advice. Done. Karen, I know you had your hand up a while ago. Hopefully we can keep it quick because we do have other stuff on our agenda. I hate to rush you, but I'll ask you to be succinct if you can. Go ahead, Karen.
Okay. I'm here because I like to keep a finger on the pulse of things going on because it is connected with the work I'm here to do, which is not what I'm here to talk about right now. But cannot unmute yourself because the host of me. Well, I'm assuming you can hear me.
Yes, we can.
Okay. Yep. Something just popped up to tell me that you had to do. But I have a couple of suggestions, especially for the youth, Youth Peace Alliance. I don't know if you're familiar with the Razur Foundation. Mm-hmm. Rita Marie. Yeah.
Yes.
This in Costa Rica. By the way, I'm sitting in Costa Rica, a country of peace, and with their own Ministry of Peace, Justice and Peace. And Rita Marie started here with calling it the Peace Army. It's become the Razur Foundation. She worked in schools with, you know, conflict resolution so that there could be peace, because if we start with the youth, you know, then it carries out. And she might be a good resource for you, I'm thinking, and the Razur Foundation. And you mentioned, Daniel, empathy and that. And of course, they work with a connection process they created that works with empathy and insight to create a good connection so that you can have peace within and without. So that might be a good resource for you. And Don, I'm surprised you haven't spoken up yet, because you have things you could share as well. I see you there. Hi, Don. And Don might have some good ideas for you as well. I have a foundation as well, but it's creating peace, is raising consciousness, creating peace is of course part of that. So this is why I'm here, because I'm always interested to see what's going on elsewhere and where we can share. Because if I've learned anything, we can't do these things alone. All of us that are working in this direction need to be able to connect and share ideas and resources so that we can actually manifest this in the world, because this is what the world needs, of course. And so I guess that's pretty much all I have to say for now. If anyone wants to reach me, I can give my phone number, website, whatever you'd like. My phone number is easy. It's my U.S. phone number, but even though I'm in Costa Rica, I have a U.S. phone number, 772-882-7571. 72757. And I love to carry on conversation because we all need to work together if we're going to create a, I mean, I work from a, following directions from a higher source. And, you know, if we're all going to create a new paradigm of being here on this planet, we need to work together. And of course, peace is a part of that. So thank you for allowing me to speak and for having this.
Thank you, Karen. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Karen. And I love the idea of more connection with the Rosera Foundation. We've had somewhat of a cooperation so far. Let's jump over to Nancy Merritt for our update on the Department of Peacebuilding campaign that's been a very active and successful time recently. Oh, Nancy, how come I can't unmute you? Are you unmuted already? You're in two places on the screen. Nancy. There you are.
Hello.
Okay. Got you. There you are.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Well, thank you for this discussion. A number of us just got back from Washington, D.C., where we were sort of embodying everything that just was talked about. We go to Washington, the Department of Peacebuilding folks go to Washington, D.C. every year around International Day of Peace and advocate for a Department of Peacebuilding, a culture of peace, and all kinds of other peace-related legislation and policies. And this year, we had advocates from 12 different states. We went to approximately 200 offices of House of representatives and senators. We met with the staffers of the House Oversight Committee, which is where our bill resides, and the Senate Government Reform Committee, the Senate Judiciary Committee. We had at some of the meetings, we had constituents by phone call from various places like Colorado and Massachusetts and New Mexico. And we also had people do an accompanying action of amplifying our message by calling various members of Congress while we were there. We took letters from students and adults, actually, from the Kids for Peace movement in San Diego. And I guess the main offices we visited were current co-sponsors, former co-sponsors, almost all the new Democrats, newly elected Democrats, and then offices where we are, we were constituents, and then a few others. So, as I said, this was during the climate, the International Day of Peace, which was the theme was Climate for Peace. It was a very event-filled 7 days. Started out with all the climate chaos marches, and one of the most exciting things we did was visit an elementary school in Washington, D.C. This was arranged by Yelena, where they teach peace classes and have been teaching them for years for every single student, about 900 students in this elementary school. Every single student goes to a peace class once a week. And so some of these kids are in fifth grade now, have been doing this since they were kindergartners. And these classes were really fun to watch. They emphasize social emotional learning and nonviolent conflict resolution and mindfulness, and kind of meld all that into different activities. And one of them was one of the activities they did while we were there was picking kindness partners, where they paired up and they talked about what they have in common and what they differ on, especially around the burning issue of ice cream, which was important. And this it's a curriculum that's, it costs all of, I've forgotten what it was, something like $350 period. a year, and it's spread to schools in 40 states. It's just an astounding and really cool program, and I'll be doing an article and I'll send links for that. But wanted to do a shout out for Yelena, who arranged that and isn't able to be on the call tonight. We also had a personal tour by the curator of an exhibit at the Smithsonian called Illegal to Be You, Gay History Beyond Stonewall, which was very cool. Some of us participated in the We the People March, and some of us went to a lecture by Supreme Court Justice Sonia Sotomayor, which was also a really cool experience. Some went to a gun violence prevention rally. A lot of us went to the American Indian Museum. And so we kind of were really influenced by these events. And this was during the week when the impeachment hearings were started. So there was that whole background of that. So we talked, you guys mentioned earlier in the call, intersectionality, and that seemed to be the word of the week while we were there. So in almost all the offices, we talked about the idea of intersectionality of peace building with so many different issues that we're all concerned about, like family violence, bullying, gun violence, immigration, violence against the earth, economic disparity, and so many more things. So I don't know, it was a really good week. We're still following up with members of Congress on touching bases and giving more information. And I felt like it was, I came away actually really hopeful that so many people were so engaged and kind of saying, well, talking about democracy, talking about the civility of our government, and talking about peace building. So I was really encouraged by it. The Saturday, the day after I got home, I saw Barbara Lee, who is the co-sponsor of this bill, at an event in Oakland, and told her about our adventures, and she was very excited, and she said for us all to keep up the outreach. So I really thank everybody who was able to come or able to amplify by calling members of Congress, people who can follow up, and just everybody who's spreading the word about peace building. And I'm sure there's a million things I've left out, but that's the short version of what we did in Washington.
Amazing, Nancy. Really astounding. I applaud you and all the folks that organized with you and went there and were there by phone and email to amplify your message. I'm just really so grateful for the work that you're doing with and for all of us. So thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. So I would love for folks to take a look at the links that I sent. And I wonder if anybody who hasn't done it yet is willing to walk through signing on and endorsing the Blueprint for Peace. Do it and share your screen. So somebody who's on a computer with us would be willing to share your screen as you walk through this process. Anybody interested in doing that? Oh, I see a hand, Don Pett. Okay, terrific. Let me unmute you, Don. Welcome, greetings.
No, I'm not sure very good with the computer, but I'll try to share my screen unless you can
do it. You should be able to do that. Right down at the bottom sort of middle, there's a green square that says share.
I've done that.
Okay. And then it should give you some options of which part of your screen do you want to share. Do you see?
Maybe I have to exit the full screen. Let's see. No, let's see. That didn't do the job. So let me go back to speaker view. So I see this share button down here.
Okay.
Is host disabled participant screening sharing?
Oh, no. Let me see if I can enable that. I'm going to I'm going to make you a host so that you can do that.
Okay, then I can do it.
Okay. You are now the host. Congratulations.
Now I'm going to click that again.
Okay.
And okay, now here's my screen. I put share.
Okay. And do you have that email with those links on it?
Well, I have your, is this it?
Notice that it should be an email that you got about an hour ago.
Okay, in that case, I'm going to have to scroll up.
Okay.
Maybe this is it.
There it is. Wait, is that it? Yep, that's it. Yep. So that first link, yeah, if you go ahead and click on that. Okay, there we are. This is the blueprint. This is the page on our website. So anybody can also get to this by way of peacealliance.org. And this talks about the framework that Judy and Terry talked about. And if you can, any of those bolded places, like it says, endorsing this important step, you go, that one will work. Yep. Click on that. There you are. And now you're at the page that will just ask you to go ahead and endorse. And if you want to modify that text in the box, that's an option. There's some sample text that you can simply use to urge your electeds to go ahead and...
Why don't I just click on the endorse now?
Sounds good. Where it says submit below your email, if that's the correct email for you. Down below a little bit, where it says submit. To the left, and up, right there. Okay. Click submit. Okay, it's asking for a middle name. Do you have a middle name?
I don't have one.
Okay. maybe just put none in that box. Sometimes some members of Congress ask for specific information, and then this gets kicked back because of that. And now let's hit submit again. Hit submit. Okay. Yeah. You just did it. You just sent a message to all those members of Congress, your senators, your House members. And then you get to this screen where you have an option of donating if you'd like to. And I'm not going to put the pressure on you right now, but anybody who would like to donate, if you like what we're doing here, you are more than welcome, cordially invited to become a peace partner and invite other people to do that as well. Can you back up a screen now? Go to the back arrow up top left. Yeah. So we go back. Okay. Now on that page near the bottom, a little further, yeah, you see those three symbols in the very, very, very bottom: Facebook, Twitter, and email. This is the opportunity to share this. So if you have a Facebook account and are interested in sharing this, you can go ahead and click on the Facebook, and it'll take you right to your account, and you can share this page. So that's an option. Are you interested in doing that, or are you going to share by email?
I don't know how to use some of this, but I can do it by email.
Okay, yeah. So if you click on email, then it creates a form for you to enter an email address, one or more.
So I'm going to put World Peace Team.
Great.
Which is my group.
Wonderful. And you probably need the full email address up top. I don't know what the World Peace Team's address is.
On my computer, that's all I put in it.
And it comes up for you. So you may need to go to your contacts list and find out what World Peace Team's contact is.
Yeah, because I don't.
Okay, so that might be an extra step for you to go back to your emails, and we don't have to walk through all that right now. But I think folks get the idea. They can go right to email, to Facebook or Twitter, and share this, or you can go ahead and if you can save this screen, leave it open for now, and then come back to it when you've got that email address.
Okay. Yeah. So that's not going to work. So
yeah. You can come back to it later. So now I have a favor to ask. If you can go back to on your Zoom screen, do you see where I am. Can you scroll to my square there?
Should I stop the share now?
Yeah, you can stop the share.
Okay.
And then hover over the square where my face is.
Yeah.
And there's three dots in the right corner.
See them?
We click on those three dots.
Okay.
And then make me a host.
Make.
I am really impressed. I just want to say.
You're doing great.
You're doing a great job.
Where do you want me to click here?
Did it say make host?
It doesn't say that here. Oh, yes, it does. I see it. Do you want to change the host to Daniel Kahn? Yes.
Yes, please. I'm the host now. You did great. Thank you, Don. Yay! A round of applause for Don. Beautiful job. Beautiful job.
Like comment, though, before we end our meeting.
Sure. What, you want to make a comment? Go ahead. What's on your mind?
Sure. I'd just like to say that I've been very happy about creating world peace myself. Mm-hmm. And I just want to say that I've interviewed over 200 people, asked them questions. Do you wish or pray for peace? And 100% say yes. No one is ever against peace. Mm. Second question, do you do anything for peace? Most people say they do not, or they do something minor, but nothing significant. But the third question is, if you knew what you could do, would you do something? And 100% raise your eyebrows and say, of course I would. So the issue is, we have a worldwide interest in world peace, and there is no product available that I'm aware of that can rapidly create world peace, because we know that the experts, and I consider myself an expert in this area, say we have 10 years or less to get our act together, which is the button. So my final comment is that my team has created what I think is the only practical solution to create world peace. It's Einstein's solution. He told us we must teach ourselves a newer way of thinking, where people cooperate instead of compete. And we can do that very simply. If you go to my website, www.peace.academy, P-E-A-C-E, www.peace.academy, I've had a professional speaker and actor record recordings. Three of them teach loving yourself with the abundance that overflows. And the other recordings are seven simple word changes that rapidly create a newer way of thinking. We've also got an endorsement, by the way, from Zoom Technology. They've authorized us because they like our program for 50 free links to these pro link we can give away for people who are interested in doing something. So if you go to the website, www.peace.academy, there's a whole variety of things that are available of an action step. Unless we take action, our goal is to recruit 1 million teachers of world peace that can teach the 7 million crazies on earth something about peace. So thank you for that, allowing to share that.
Thanks, Don. Thanks for your work, and thanks for sharing that. I see some hands raised, but it is 4 minutes past the hour. I've already kept folks past what I like to keep them at. If you have something that you want to share directly with me, dan@peacealliance.org, I'd be happy to hear from you, and we'll continue this discussion. If you want to connect with Nancy Merritt, who's been doing such astounding work to promote a Department of Peacebuilding and to promote other legislation that falls within our priorities, nancy@peacealliance.org, if folks have questions or comments to get back to Nancy. I really appreciate all of you being with us. I apologize for keeping us a few minutes over, but it's been a very rich call. And I also apologize that I did not get to a community sharing time in our hour. I said that we would have time for shares from the field. We did get some shares, but it was sort of organic, and we just ran over budget with our time. And I'm sorry about that. I'll try to be more disciplined with our time in the future. So I'm going to unmute everybody so we can say a little good night or whatever is on your mind to say while we're all unmuted. And I wish you all a wonderful evening. Thanks for being with us.
Night.
Good night. Good night. Hey, everybody.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Bye.
Thank you. Hugs to Joel.